Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Amen. Happy New Year. Man, let me say that again. That was pretty weak. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We are heading into another year. Jesus hasn't come back yet, which means he wants us to continue occupying until he comes. And so we're going to be busy around here and connecting with people and connecting with our community. Just around the corner, we have so many things in the hopper, so to speak, that we are working on and working towards. Some of you have asked some questions. I want to reiterate that again about Financial Peace University. We actually, that is accessed through the Dave Ramsey website, through the Financial Peace University. And you can actually encourage members of your family to, you can buy them scholarships. You can do things like that to help them to make that possible. We as a church would like to stand with you. If it's in your heart to do that and to do something, say, I want to be a better steward, but the fees and the books and all the other things that are involved would set me back substantially. I need a little help. We understand that. And there's things that we would like to do as a church to help you. At the same time, you have to have some skin in the game. Amen? You have to invest yourself in something. Just psychologically, if something is given to you for free, you can get some of the finest advice for free and never take it. But when you invest in it, you have a sense of urgency and obligation to say, well, you know, I've already invested this time and effort in it. I ought to do something with this. And so that's not altogether bad, because we human beings don't always operate off of the best of motivations. And sometimes it requires negative motivation in order to do it, or negative urgencies. And so we want to stand with you. If that's something that you want to, as you go into 2018, do something in your life in the area of stewardship, and that will flow right with what we're doing as we go into 2018. We'll be talking about 40 days of the church. We're going to be taking 40 days and really focusing on the church. What is it here for? Why did Jesus die and establish the church? Why did he empower the church? How do I fit in the church? What does the church mean to me? What do I mean to the church? And how does the grace of God flow through these people that are assembled together into his church? We'll be exploring that topic. I'm really excited that next week we're going to have with us Bishop Aaron Blake. And it's really neat, because here in our own congregation we have Beth and Jerry McCoy. Beth's here this morning. She's been a lifetime of teaching. You've been invested in teaching. She taught in Brownwood. And her down-the-road neighbor from her daughter was none other than Bishop Aaron Blake. And the Lord has used him very powerfully in the school district there in Brownwood. And now he is the head of our district emphasis upon orphan care and upon fostering and encouraging people to get into adoption. And by the way, what really prompted that, one of the things that really prompted that, was that the state of Texas basically is, this is so interesting, that the state of Texas is coming to the church and saying, this is just too big of a problem, and we need your help. Because these families are broken, they need to be put back together, these kids are broken, and this is more than our counseling and our system can handle. Our system's getting overwhelmed. We need help. Would you please help us? And somebody who has been right in the thick of that is Bishop Aaron Blake, and has served in the state and is very well known within the Child Protective Services, and his voice, they want to hear in their ear. They call him. They speak to him and invite him in. And he is one of our Assemblies of God ministers. And you're going to get to hear him preach on Sunday and share that. And I think you'll be really excited. Now, as we're doing that, we're going to be focusing on, and we're going to begin to establish the basis of the church and 40 days of the church and the purpose of the church as we're preaching over the next couple weeks on those about 6 weeks. And to kick it off with something that we find in the book of James. Pure religion and undefiled is this, to take care of the orphan and the widow, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, sometimes we get so focused on keeping ourselves unspotted that we forget about the widows and orphans. Others of us in the body of Christ tend to be so focused upon the orphans and the widows and those issues that we forget about to keep the oneself unspotted from the world. Yet we have a call to involve ourselves with great commitment to both of them. And so something that we're going to do and Envision Church has really helped to have our vision expanded and to make sure that we are embracing that call of God as heard in the book and the words of the Apostle James to demonstrate care and compassion and practical help to those who are needing our help. And I'll tell you, the widows and the orphan both are needing that, and our focus is going to be upon those orphans, and the state of Texas is sounding a cry all across and saying, Church, would you help us? And to that we need to answer, yes. Not only will we give, but we'll invest and we'll connect and we'll see the grace of God flow from us into these lives of that are hurting and are needing. And I believe we can turn the tide in the state of Texas. And then this is a golden moment as we're here. Already this has been going on in 2016, really gathering steam in 2017. And I'm excited that we can join in and be a part of that in 2018. Amen? Amen. And so we're really looking forward to that next week. And that's going to connect us with those 40 days. Now, something else that I want to speak over to you, over you before I even get into the message this morning, something that's just been percolating in my spirit that I just want to speak over you and have you consider for the year 2018. Just in the back of our minds and kind of in the undercurrent of what we're doing, I just feel like the Lord had a threefold word for us, just in very simple word, and this is not my sermon. I just wanted to share this with you. Let this be in the background of what we're doing in 2018. This is kind of a theme, a spiritual theme for us as a church in 2018, and it's this: release, return, and refreshing. We need to be praying and believing God for release. There are some people who are in bondage and difficulty. Some of us are right here in this place, and we need to be more free than we ever have before. We need to experience some release in our life. We feel like there's something holding us back, and that needs to be broken. We're going to encounter people who are bound and need to be set free. And need I remind you that Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to preach good news and to declare release to the captive." This needs to be a year of return. Yes, this is a year for people who have been off in bondage, sidetracked, off away from the 90 and 9, wherever they may be. This needs to be a year for the backslider to get back and for the heart that's grown cold to be rewarmed. This needs to be a year of return. Yes, amen? And then, this needs to be a year of refreshing. We get weary in well-doing, right? We're working, and things get dry, things get tepid, things become lukewarm. And we heard that word already this morning, assuring us of the heart of God towards us. But also, we are aware that we get cool. We cool off. The scientific concept of entropy. We have energy and then we lose it. We have heat, then we lose it. And that's just, let's just turn to your neighbor and say, we leak. We leak. Yeah, we leak. We tend to dissipate things. We tend to lose things. We lose keys. We lose our way. We lose track. Whatever it might be, we have a tendency to get off of focus and off of beam, and this needs to be a year of refreshing. There's some weary hearts, there are some tired hearts, and this needs to be a year of refreshing. Will you believe God together with me for that in 2018? Just three words I want to speak over us as a congregation. Let them kind of be a subtext for what we're doing. I just believe that in a time of prayer a couple weeks ago, I just felt like the Holy Spirit gave me that threefold word, that this is a year of release, return, and refreshing. So let's pray and align with that prophetic word. Amen? Reflected in our prayer and in our praise. Total bonus. Now I can plow into the message this morning. You could have had this last week. But we got iced out. And so Brother Steve Hinton said to me, he said, "Man, this is great. You're all ready for this week." And at first I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Nobody was here last week. You have a sermon that you prepared and nobody was here." Nice. And so this is the first Sunday of 2018, and it is the first Sunday of the new year. And so I want to talk to you about the new year. It's time to let go and time to press on. This is a great time to let some things go, and this is a great time to regather some energy and press on. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 says this: "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." Now, as we look at those times, I don't know about you, but my tendency is to go through and find all of the real happy and positive times and just live there. Amen? We want to have our happy times, our favorite times, the things that kind of hit that place in our life where we say, "I agree, that's the way I'm built." And we want to tend to stay there. If we have kind of a real uppy, optimistic, kind of extrovert type of perspective, very often we'll come to those high places and say, "That's where I want to live, and that's what I want to capture." It's kind of like that lightning in a bottle concept. This was such a wonderful time. Let's just capture this and bottle it and distribute it and then just live right here. Well, there's others of us that have dealt with a lot of negative things, a lot of heavy things, a lot of difficult things, and we just have to be honest and look through this list and say, "Well, you know, there's a lot of those negative places that I tend to hang out." Well, it's a time to realize that there is a time for all kinds of things, and the trick, so to speak, is to find out really what time is it, what season am I in, and how do I need to be in this time and not be so narrow and just expect everything just to fit into this neat little box of this one time that I happen to really like. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, the Apostle Paul says this to the Philippian church, and he's saying to us this morning, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So first of all, we need to focus on it is time to let go. There, anybody that's known me at any time knows also, since we have four children, that I have occupied most of my adult life in Disney Pixar animated movies. And so I think this young lady has a good word of advice for us this morning. Let it go. Let it go. Now what's frustrating is those are words that are easy to say and hard to do. When we're very angry because somebody has done something very powerfully wrong against us and we're very offended and somebody just says, "Well, let it go," we kind of feel chapped at them too. We kind of include them in our circle of anger at the time. There's sometimes that people will say, "Okay, here's your problem. It's like a speed bump, and here's you getting over it. You just need to get over it." Sometimes it's a little more deep than that, and it can't be handled with just a happy face and a smile. There's more to it than that, but the words of wisdom are, laying down in the bottom of that, we need to let it go. There are some things that the Word of God tells us we need to let go. The Apostle Paul tells us you need to let it go. And so part of letting it go is forgetting. Paul says forgetting that which is behind. Now, forgetting, it is not a brain flaw. Some of us know what it's like to try to remember important dates or forget to put something on your calendar and then what chaos ensues as a result of that. And we would understand that as a flaw, but that's not the kind of forgetting he's talking about, because very, very significant, especially negative things, are hard to forget. I may forgive, someone said, but I will not forget. Our minds have this amazing ability of constantly recycling. They go back around and back around and back around. That's why things show up in your dreams. That's why these things. Where did that come from? In fact, I have a jukebox in my brain. And I will wake up in the morning and my wife could just basically say, so what song is on the jukebox this morning? And I mean, it could be the Righteous Brothers. It could be a Christmas tune. It can be just dumb things. And she says two things. One is, could you just learn the rest of those lyrics? Because it's like two lines that I remember, and I just go around singing those incessantly. So my brain just recycles the hits of especially the 70s. You know, all the folk songs, so on and so forth. The songs of my high school and junior high year, I can remember where I was when I first heard that song and so on and so forth. And it just cycles back around. And so I'll say, guess what's on the jukebox today? And I'll sing that song. It usually comes out in the shower. Now, she wishes probably at times that I would forget. But it's an aspect of just rehearsing. Our brains are built to rehearse that. Now, what we need to do is that there needs to be a renewing of the mind. The Bible tells us to renew the mind. So it's more than you can't simply forget, but you can remember it in a new context. You can remember it in a new way. So we have to deal with the negatives. We must deal with the past. And you can write this down. Maybe we ought to put this on a motivational plaque and sell it for $19.95 on the internet. We must deal with the past, or the past will always deal with us. We must deal with it. And the great news is God has armed us by His Word and by His Spirit to deal with the past. Something that Pastor Steve mentioned this last week, I thought this is something you could put on a plaque. Maybe it is on a plaque somewhere, and he just lifted it from there. You know, the first time you mention it, and then you mention the person's name. The second time you mention it, you say, a wise man said it. The third time, you just say, you know, one time I heard, and then after that, they start quoting it and attributing it to you. But I thought this was powerful. And he said, Jesus was hung between two thieves. The future. The past and the future. Because if we live there under the direction of those two entities, it robs us of our present. It doesn't allow us to negotiate with life at present. So we have to deal with the past. So here's how we deal with the past. Are you ready? The past must be faced, forgiven, and forsaken. So face it. Be brutally honest with the facts of the past. But never, 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 ever face the past without the Word of God. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the concept of condemnation? Condemnation, especially by the enemy, works this way. He reminds you of your past. He reminds you of the truth from the Word of God, which finds you guilty. But he will not speak to you about the passages of Scripture that are more in abundance than those passages which condemn you, which offer to you forgiveness. For example, he'll never come to you and say, you did this in the past, according to the Word of God, you're guilty, but you confessed your sin, and whoever confesses his sin is faithful, and Jesus is just and faithful, and he forgives your sin and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. I've never had the enemy remind me of that passage. But I have had him take the holy word of God, isolate a passage of scripture which finds me guilty, show me as the guilty dog, and then constantly rehearse to me how guilty I am. And then my brain begins cycling. Man, I can't believe I did that. I was such a loser. How could I have been so foolish? On and on and on. And if we stay there, we're not facing it properly. We can't just go along and say, I didn't do that. They didn't do that to me. That's really not that bad. We can't rationalize it. We simply have to face it and face it with the entire counsel of the Word of God. And we have to say, that happened. That was wrong. But that can't continue to happen within my life. I can't give that power within my life. I'm reminded of a story. It was a horrific story of about 20-something years ago of a young lady. I don't remember that being in the sermon. Is that in the sermon? Okay. Okay. I didn't put that in there. I don't know where that came from. Pastor Steve, did you do that? So you need to be... Now I'm all flustered. Now I was like, where did that come from? I don't remember that. So it's not in my notes. And it's a good one. It's a good one. We're going to attribute that to the Lion King. And so we have to face it. We simply have to face it. And realize that you have to go before the bar of God, that Jesus is your attorney. And that he is in the forgiveness business.
Yes, sir.
And he can release you from it. Be brutally honest, but never face it without the word of God. It needs to be forgiven. Aren't you grateful for forgiveness? Aren't you glad for forgiveness? Forgiveness is to be given and received with God and man. Now, a lot of us want to be in the business of receiving forgiveness from God, but we don't want to be in the business of dispensing forgiveness. Right? We understand that we're messed up before God, and so God is the one who's in the forgiveness-granting business. But listen to what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer when he said, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Let me expand that a little bit and help you to see the underlying meaning here. Forgive us our trespasses to the same extent, to the same degree, and with the same intensity to which we interact with and forgive the trespasses of others. Well, that puts a whole nother spin on it, doesn't it? Wait a minute. God is watching me for the level of forgiveness he's going to give me. Pastor, that doesn't sound right. Jesus taught that. He says that the same way that you forgive others, he, your heavenly Father, will forgive you. And so it's something that we need to invest and give into other people. We have to operate out of this sense of humility that I mess up, other people mess up, God is in the forgiveness business, I need to be in the forgiveness business. What does that mean? It doesn't mean to forget it. It means to release it from its intense hold on your life and have God give you a perspective on that issue that you would otherwise not have that will change the entire calculus. Help him, have him help you to see it in the light of eternity. In the light of eternity, things have a different perspective than they do in the heat of the moment. So, we give and receive forgiveness from God and man. And forsaking is a process of not holding it anymore. It loses its power. When you forsake it, it no longer has its power over you. It hasn't gone away. You can recall it and you can remember it, but the whole game has changed. And that no longer has a powerful effect upon you, and then you can forsake it. To forsake it means it's no longer going to have a formative, informative pressure in my life. It's going to be released from me. It's not going to be a burden. It's not going to be something that I carry. It's not going to be something that shapes me. It's going to be an experience that shapes me by the grace of God, but it's not going to be something that brings me down. Amen? Some of us have been through some stuff this year that definitely needs some releasing, some forgiving, and forsaking. And aren't you glad the Holy Spirit is present with you to help you to do that? Amen? What a deep and fundamental process, and what a deep and wonderful friend He is. So, there are some, remember, there's some positives we got to deal with. Positives. Faith experiences make and mature us and must be retained. Now, how many of you have been through a difficult test where your faith was tested and found to be pure gold and you come out the other side? Here's the first thing we say, thank God that's over. Right? And here's the other prayer that we pray right after that. Father, let nothing like that ever again happen in my life. Right? Good luck with that prayer. Good luck with that prayer. Because as you are developing and being transformed in Christ, you must encounter crises of faith. Things must be tested. The heat must be intensified, and you must come out the other side. And here's God's intention in the whole thing. First of all, He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can be tempted. And secondly, by His grace, you can walk through it. And thirdly, come out the other side purified and have things built into your life that reflect eternity and God's glory. And when we come through that, rather than saying, forget that, that lesson's over, I don't ever want to do that again. And you know what, I've heard this, I've said this myself when I finished a class in college or high school. Man, that's over, I'm never going to use math again in my life. Never. Oh, no. You're going to use it again. And it'd be best if you remembered those classes. Even though the testing experience was distasteful, don't let the distastefulness of the test jettison the incredible worth and value of the lesson. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's good stuff right there. So, these faith experiences make us and mature us, and they must be retained. But we have to discern. Here's how we're going to deal with these things that are going on in our life. We're going to discern. We're going to investigate the kingdom value that God was forming. What was God up to in this? Not what was man up to. What were this nefarious person that was against me? But what was God up to? And discernment means to look deeply into something and weigh it out. It's not something that's called a flip of a coin. Now, here I want you to catch this morning. You need to get a hold of this. Discernment is needed in most situations, every situation, because there's more than one variable going on. Life is not the flip of a coin. It is not just the will of God or the will of the devil. No, it's your will and the will of other people. And sometimes there's five variables in a situation. And discernment means to sit down, carefully weigh it, and get to the nut of it. Get down to the root of it and say, now this is what's going on, and this is what God is up to. This is the kingdom value that in the middle of this whole thing, God was looking to form in my life. Then we need to divide or separate the value from the container in which it was delivered. Now, isn't it interesting that God has ways of doing things like using a donkey to speak to a man? You remember Balaam the prophet? Where he uses base things. In fact, this is what Mary says in the book of Luke. This is what's called the Magnificat of Mary. She says, you have sent the rich away empty, and you've taken the wise and others, and you confounded them, and you've chosen to do this with the weak things and with the empty things and with the poor things. I've just parenthetically put together kind of and summarized her thought there. Paul would later say that you have chosen the weak things through which you can reveal your grace and your glory. So we have a way of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and we want to discount the container that God used to bring a message to us or a situation to us. And what we have to do is we have to be wise and recognize God is using these people, but this doesn't give them the stamp of approval of divine authority upon their life. He is delivering priceless items in old wooden crates and broken vessels. So that the glory might be of Him, not of that vessel. So that we'd never get confused that God is doing that. Isn't he awesome how he can do that? And then we need to divest. We need to be willing to part with the temporary issue and keep the eternal value. Discount the temporary, part with that, and keep the eternal value. We even need to do that with good things. We need to do that with happy things. We need, forgetting those things which are behind, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And everything in between. So we have to part with those temporary issues and hang on to the eternal value. Now, something that we're wrestling with all the time is we're wrestling between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of the kingdom of our God. And these two are like oil and water. They never mix. They are actually light and darkness. James describes them as light and darkness. And so we have to sift through and grab a hold of the value of the light. We have to get a hold of that which is separated out and is eternal, and get a hold of it and let the rest go. Just like Elsa said, right? Wasn't that Elsa? Help me. Somebody who's an expert on Disney Pixar characters. Wasn't that Elsa that said, let it go? Let it go. So now it's time to press on. Some of you in your brain for the next 5 minutes are going to be singing along with Elsa, but I'd urge you to come back and stay with us just a few more moments before we go. The future must be pursued. Otherwise, you will always live in the past. Have you met people who, don't point them out now this morning, but have you met some people who just live in the past? Whether it's the glory days of the past or the terrible things that have happened in their lives, they're locked in this endless loop of relitigating the past. They may be stuck in the 40s. They may be, you know, Ronnie Millsap said he was lost in the 60s tonight, but some people got stuck in the 60s, never got out. I think the Bellamy brothers said he's an old hippie, don't know what to do. And so as individuals, as people, sometimes we relitigate the past and live continually in a certain era, in a certain time, and we can do that out of negative circumstances as well as positive circumstances. But what does the Holy Spirit want us to do? He wants us to press into the future. If we don't, the past will tend to impress us, depress us, or conform us to the image of the past, but we are going to have to move into the future with the Holy Spirit. So how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do that with focus, fearlessness, and faith. So what's focus? Focus is seeing clearly and fixing our attention on a narrow objective. We like to focus like a laser beam. We want to focus in on something. David told us that the Word of God is a lamp and a light, and it's meant for step-by-step walking. Now, how many of you know that the Lord knows we're all really ADD? Right? I think ADD is just, there's just variables of ADD. I think basically everybody is. And everybody in this room is has a great, severe case of spiritual ADD. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go and walk with God, and boop, over here we go. And so we're used to being kind of something silver and shiny flashes, and our attention goes. I identify with another character is actually one of the few characters named Doug. Nickelodeon had one. And then later, I actually appeared in a movie. I was a dog. And it was in the movie Up. And he says, hi, my name is Doug. My master made this collar for me so I can speak with you. Squirrel! And every one of us in this room go through that. Oh, yeah. Oh yes, Lord, I just really want to focus in on this. Oh, look over there. What? And off we go. And we just jump the tracks all the time. And so we need some spiritual focus. I need some spiritual focus. And so something that helps me to remain focused is I take those five letters and I lay them out this way. First things first. It's a matter of priority. We've got to get first things first. And the Word of God says things like, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And so the Word of God gives us some priorities that can help us to focus and let us know that we are focused upon His kingdom. How about this one? Optimistic. I love to hear the book. I love the verse out of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11. I know the plans I have for you. Future, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to be good to you. There's things I want to do in your life, and they're good things. When if you tell some people God has something in store for you, they say this, uh-oh. What does that mean? What have I done now? And there's this dread. No. We can't operate out of pessimism. We have to operate out of an optimism that I know He's a good, good Father. That my Father loves me. And that He has plans for me. And He loves me so much He will correct me. He will direct me. He will work in my life. He will take me through things that I wouldn't choose to go through. He'll walk with me through those rather than abandon them. But God, if God be with us, who can be against us? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Optimism. Christ-centered. Right? Christ-centered. Let's make Him the center of our focus right there in the middle of the word, letter C. Christ-centered. Upward. Right? The path of the just shineth more and more into the perfect day. It inclines and it spirals and moves higher and higher. It's going upward. And then this one, simple. Now, I'm the guy that if you ask what time it is, I will explain to you how to build a watch. But if you ask God what time it is, He'll just tell you the time. And so we need a simplicity in our life. It really is about simple things. We tend to make them, overthink them, make them way more complex. And Jesus has a way of boiling it down to the simplicity of what it takes to get the focus right in your life. And by the way, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what needs to happen in your life to improve your focus. Now, as we go forward into the future, we do have to do so. Not only with that, we need to go with fearlessness. God, angels, and Jesus started a number of their blessings and promises with the words, "Fear not." We live in a world of fear. Over 500 diagnosable phobias or fears. I've just got three of them here for you. How about this one? Electrophobia. Yeah, fear of chickens. Everybody knows this next one, arachnophobia. Oh yeah, some of you have it because you just shuddered just at the word. Although you might have two problems. One is a fear of spiders and fear of the word spider, but that's a whole nother discussion. Fear of spiders. And how about this one? I hope you're not suffering from this one. This would be pretty sad. Arachibutyrophobia. The fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of the mouth. Diagnosable fear. Somebody's got it. But listen to what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit knows how to reveal that in us and to us and through us? We have been given a spirit not of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because faith allows you to press into the future on different terms than your past has negotiated. Man, when I look back over my past and look over the past of other folks, and if that's not good enough, go into the Bible and look at some of the pasts of some of these people. And you'll remember from our Christmas series, I hope you remember that I made the point that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were all intimately connected through family ties to 40 very shady and questionable people. This Bible is not a book of perfect people that were born perfect and lived perfect, but it's a book of imperfect people filled with fear and struggling with faith and being aware of doubt and the past, standing in front of a God with whom nothing was impossible, receiving that question, first, fear not, and then secondly, will you believe? And in the face of all the doubt and the history and everything, saying, you know what, God, I'm willing to step out and believe. I'm willing to side with you against the impossible. Let's go. Abram said it. Mary said it. Noah said it. Look in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and what marks these people's lives, though imperfect that they are, struggling that they are, liars and thieves and storytellers and exaggerators and on and idolaters and all the like that are listed there. What changed their life? They were willing to say, you know what? You're the God in heaven. With you, there is nothing impossible. You are the creator of everything that exists. And if I'm damaged, you can fix me. If I'm broken, you can heal me. If I'm bound, you can set me free. And so I'm willing to walk with you. You point and I'll go. And I'll try not to be afraid along the way. But I'm going to need some help there too. And these, give the Lord a hand clap. Yeah. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Faith allows you, you know, that's another one. We ought to make a plaque out of that. Faith allows you to press into the future on different terms than your past has negotiated. Do you know why? Because God is the great negotiator and arbitrator. And He says, behold, I make all things new. And there's only one way into that new. And that is, I believe. I receive. I trust you. I'll walk out this change. I'll go someplace I've never gone before. I'll do something I've never done before because I know for certain that the things I've done in the past have only kept me in the past and have locked me into this prison, and I want to be free. I want to be free. Amen? Let's stand to our feet on this first Sunday of 2018. And let's thank God for 2017. Now, you don't need to thank Him for everything, and you can thank Him in everything in 2017. And let's pray a prayer of a willingness to press into 2018 with faith, with optimism, with Christ-centered reality, with an upward focus, and that we can step into that prophetic word that I began this service with, that this would be a year of release. A year of return and a year of refreshing as we begin to walk out together as a church into a place we've never been before, and we can experience what God has for us in this new year. Amen? So, Lord, we thank You for 2017. Lord, we have been disciplined. We've gone through correction. We have gone through some distasteful things. We're still here. We're still alive. We're still kicking. Some of us feel like we're barely alive and we're wondering why we still are. But Lord, here we are, and we're in 2018, and we want to say thank You for carrying us, helping us, ministering to us, and doing things in our lives in 2017. Lord, we want to say thank You that our past and the things that have happened, we can discern with Your help, and we can release some things and let them go. And I pray, Lord, that there would be a spirit of release upon us as a congregation, that there are some things that we need to forget about 2017. There are some things that need to be rethought about 2017. There are some things, good and bad and ugly, that we need to release about 2017. Because, Lord, You have something You want to put on our plate. You have something that You want to do in our lives. You have something that's something new, something renewing, something that is challenging, something that's going to reveal something about You in our life and Your values and Your kingdom. And so we ask, Lord, that You'd help us. We just ask that You'd help us this morning press into 2018 with not fear, but faith. Not a sense of hopelessness that we would drag with us from 2017 of here we go again. But, you know, with God, anything could happen. With God, nothing is impossible. And I want to go with God into this new year. I want to say thank You, Lord, for this opportunity, this clean slate, this new cycle, these new months, these things that we've never encountered before ahead of us. Lord, help us, I pray, with courage and strength and stamina of the Holy Spirit to go into 2018 and not let the past write our life for 2018, but absolutely challenge us to transformation as we go forward. Lord, we ask that. We pray that in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, your blessing upon this congregation, those that have heard your word this morning. And I pray that over their lives for 2018, that this, Lord, I just want to speak over them, that this is a year of return. This is a year of release. This is a year of refreshing. This is a year for children to return. This is a year for people they've been praying for to return to the God of their fathers. This is a year for things to be returned to them that have been stolen. This is a year of release. This is a year of refreshing. And Lord, I pray that you'd plant that into our spirit together in this year. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. The Lord bless you. Happy New Year.